from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Oh, it's Fresh Fridays. Good morning. Happy Friday. And thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is beautiful and good morning.
It is beautiful out. This is just my favorite kind of weather, especially since now we're talking about potentially 80 degrees on Saturday and Sunday.
Man.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Well, coming in at 10:33 to hang out with the G and Ursula Show, Stacey Joe. That's right, Stacey Joe Ross from 17 ESPN, our sister station, will come in and tell us what we need to know with all of Seattle sports, and especially the new addition that the Seattle Seahawks just added just yesterday. But right now, Ursula, we have a guest.
We do. Every Friday at this time, we invite our friend and colleague, Michael Medved, to join us on our show. He, of course, hosts the Michael Medved Show on our conservative sister station, KTTH. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Ursula, and congratulations to all of us on this weather.
Isn't it
incredible?
Something? Yes. I know. And I think it really is those days, those gray days that go on and on and on for a few months. It just makes us appreciate these lovely days that much more.
Well, and some of those gray days make possible all the green.
Yes,
it makes us the evergreen state and makes things beautiful.
So true.
We were able to go up to the tulips yesterday after my show, and we went up with our 4-year-old granddaughter, and
nice.
It was just a peak experience. It was so beautiful.
Oh my goodness, I still need to do that. So I want to just jump into something, an exchange that I heard, and of course it's making quite a bit of headlines, but Dr. Fauci has become kind of a punching bag for some Republican lawmakers, and Jim Jordan was the latest to clash with him during a congressional hearing. And I want to just run a couple. This went on for a while, but I want to hear, and I just want to get your take, because I'm wondering, is this the majority feeling among the GOP, or is this Jim Jordan and maybe a few others?
Well, in your written statement,
way,
you say now is not the time to pull back on masking,
Jim
physical
Jordan.
Distance.
I'm sorry, what was that?
That's Presidential Medal of Freedom winner.
Oh, okay.
Jim Jordan. He was awarded Medal of Freedom by President Trump.
Okay, so here we go. So here is his exchange with Dr. Fauci.
Well, in your written statement, you say now is not the time to pull back on masking, physical distancing, and avoiding congregate settings. When is the time? When do Americans get their freedom back?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number. What I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures, what has to happen before Americans get their freedoms back?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can, to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when.
Okay, so then at some point he said, you know, can you stop ranting? And Jim Jordan liked that.
I mean, are we just going to continue this forever? Or when do we get to the point? What measure, what standard, what objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened the last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
Well, that's
I look
obvious.
At this as a public health thing.
What is happening?
It's very sad, and I will tell you, there's a brand new Monmouth University poll that says that demagogues like Jim Jordan, who is not my favorite representative of the Republican Party or of America, a congressman from Ohio, and in any event, the new Monmouth poll, which is based on it echoes what's been shown in other polling, shows that a 2/3 of Democrats, literally 2/3, have gotten at least one vaccine, and many have gotten two. That's double the rate. Less than 30% of Republicans have gotten even one vaccine. I just had this horrible experience of speaking. My wife actually spoke to friend of ours, a very, very well-educated guy, who just is part of this vaccine resistance. And it's nuts. And by the way, it will destroy the long-term prospects of any kind of Republican revival, because it's know-nothingism. And this idea that somehow wearing masks, just as a matter of extra caution and respect for your fellow citizens, the idea that maintaining social distancing, that trying to follow public health guidelines, that this is, represents an assault on liberty or on freedoms. I don't feel that my freedoms or yours have been destroyed or shattered by the state of Washington.
Michael, good morning, brother.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. You know, today I wanted to talk about whatever it is, what the topic was. And so now, since we're talking about this, here's my question for you. You just gave the stats and the numbers about those in the Democratic Party getting vaccine as opposed to the Republican Party getting vaccines.
Yep.
Have you, Michael, have you noticed that some of the local talking heads across the country and some of these Republican leaders, as they have been the ones that have been saying, don't be sheep and don't wear masks and you don't have to wear a mask and it's flip flop. How come those people are safe at home as they talk to people on in the media, and also they're the first ones to actually get the vaccines themselves? Have you noticed that trend?
Well, I don't know if they're getting the vaccine themselves. I wish more would. In other
That's
words,
what I said, too. It's like, if they get the vaccine, good, because it's closer to herd immunity.
But they are getting the vaccines, though. And they're just not telling their well, some of them are actually telling them. But it's, the message is so inconsistent. And you know what I mean, Michael? Like, the message over the last year has been so inconsistent. Like, it's fine to disagree about politics, but you and I, we disagree about politics. But at the same time, both you and I want America to be safe. And I just don't understand why politics gets in the way of that, Michael.
Well, it's a very, very strange thing. Now, a lot of it has to do, Democrats are a lot more comfortable relying on government, except, and this is the interesting reversal here, except on the issue of policing, and which is an explosive issue we have. And it, here is the point, is that there's every reason in the world that Republicans should give the same kind of confidence to the medical authorities who have devoted their life to healing us and helping us as that they give to police officers.
Ooh-wee.
And I think it's wrong to attack police officers as a class of people who I think are noble public servants. But we ought to believe the same and recognize the same about medical authorities and public health authorities who really are working for our benefit.
Great point.
That was such a great point, Michael. I've never thought about that angle of things. So as we talk about that, how can we go forward and change this and come together? I'm just talking about the medical. I'm not talking about policing. I'm talking about the medical side of things, considering this is a very serious pandemic, considering here in the state, our governor has said it is the potential of a fourth wave of COVID coming. How can we come together on this and actually be on the same page when it comes to COVID, Michael?
Well, I think that one of the things that should work is both the change in the weather, which changes people's hearts and their spirit, but also the changes in the economy. I mean, if you listen to all the economic experts, liberal, conservative, they're talking about a surging economy. And you don't have to give credit to President Biden or to President Trump or anybody. Give credit to the American people. We're ready for a comeback. And that's what we ought to be selling, it seems to me. There's a front page story today in the New York Times, and it's authoritative. It has all the economic experts and the data and the figures. We could be having an epic, unprecedented economic boom if we just get things together a little bit. I was very encouraged, actually. There are a bunch of Republicans who apparently are working with the president. The president says he wants to work with those Republicans. in trying to get an infrastructure bill that can benefit the whole country. I mean, here in Seattle, for God's sake, you don't have to be a Democrat to realize we've got problems with our bridges. I mean,
right.
It's still impossible to get to West Seattle. You know, and again, dealing with infrastructure, dealing with some of the tax adjustments so that people who cheat on taxes, and yes, that includes the former president, that people who cheat on taxes don't get away with it, that everybody pays a minimum share. I had on Steve Moore, who is the former economic advisor to President Trump, who helped design Trumponomics. He thought Biden's concept of a 15% minimum tax for corporations was a good concept. Now, that's how we get together on sensible, common sense change that can actually benefit the American economy and benefit our whole country.
But so far, you don't see a whole lot of that translating in the other Washington. So it seems like everything is going basically along party lines as of right now.
Yes and no. There are a couple of things that I think are encouraging. One of them has been that the Democrats, leading Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, have rejected this radical idea of court packing, of creating four new Supreme Court justices, which I do think is a terrible idea. President Biden just appointed a new judicial commission with 36 members, and you know what? He included about a third of that commission as solid conservatives.
Good
for him.
Yes.
And again, I can't help feeling, and maybe it's because the Mariners won a doubleheader yesterday, but I can't help feeling that better times are ahead in terms of our politics, in terms of our economy, and most importantly of all, in terms of our public health.
I love your optimism. So who is the leader of the Republican Party right now? And I ask because I noticed, so I was reading that Kevin McCarthy visited former President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Rick Scott is still in his corner, Lindsey Graham, but Mitch McConnell is not. Who is the presumptive leader right now?
And again, the president... You know that the president, in his speech at Mar-a-Lago Saturday night, a week ago, called Mitch McConnell a dumb SOB, though he didn't say SOB.
Why doesn't he like him, Michael? Why doesn't he like Mitch McConnell?
Because Mitch McConnell has said critical things about him. it's that simple.
What about Nikki Haley?
How about her most recent stuff? She just kissed the ring and I think helped to cook her own presidential prospects by saying she wouldn't run if Trump ran and that she would support Trump if he ran again.
Why does she do that?
Who is Nikki Haley? Who is the real Nikki Haley? I'm confused. By the way, Ursula was a big fan of Nikki Haley before.
Yes.
Yeah,
big fan.
Who is she? But all I can think of is this, and I've heard this from a number of people. The reason she did that is it's a way of getting what you could call cheap grace, sort of easy support from Trump people without giving them anything. She's very, very sure he won't run again. And I think given the nature of his legal problems, and they are plentiful, and his financial problems, I think the possibility of President Trump really conducting another race in 2024 is very, very low. I don't think he will run again.
But he can raise a lot of money with people thinking that he will run again.
Absolutely. And then use that money to support his relatives. Here's a crazy thing. Larry Kudlow, who's an old friend of mine and somebody I worked with in a liberal senatorial campaign in 1970, before you guys were born, right? And Larry Kudlow is starting a new Make America Great Again think tank, and he's gotten $20 million to set it up. Now, can you imagine?
Really?
This is the name of the game here, is there are people who are funding themselves. It's Corey Lewandowski. It's all those Trump loyalists and hangers-on. They want to keep it alive, this idea that President Trump is the real leader of the Republican Party. He's not.
And by the way, who is?
Good on Liz Cheney. Who is? It's very hard for a party out of power where they don't control the House, they don't control the Senate. Probably the one most admired national Republican is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who might be an early presidential front runner for 2024.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've seen it all over Twitter,
This is the guy that just today just said that if you have the vaccine, you are immune. Don't worry. You are immune from COVID. He just said this. Michael, is this really the road the Republican Party going to go down, man?
No. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have the same way that Republicans were freaking out that Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren would be the nominee for the Democratic Party. I knew that wasn't true because the Democratic Party is not that far to the left. And the Republican Party, the Republican grassroots are not that far into crazy land as to some of the folks like Jim Jordan. In terms of the likely nominee for 2024, it could be the new governor of California, Kevin Falconer. Now, I don't think it's going to be the new governor of California, Caitlyn Jenner, but I think this is hilarious. You know that Caitlyn Jenner is planning to run as a Republican in this recall election they have coming up this year in California.
I give the chances of Caitlyn Jenner garnering even 1%. Like,
Michael,
say that's real. Real slim chance.
Despite the Kardashian connection.
Michael, I can't let you get off this phone today without letting us know who is your guy or gal? Who is that? Who is going to be your guy or gal that you look forward to taking the reins and taking over and leading the Republican Party, Michael?
Well, it's really, really tough to answer. I can't. There are people that I respect and like and admire, like Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, or for that matter, any of the terrific Republican governors like Larry Hogan of Maryland or Charlie Baker of Massachusetts or Chris Sununu of New Hampshire. These are all terrific people, but they're not going to win the nomination, I'm afraid. And it's a very real question, and I think that this is so far away from 2024, there's going to be a great deal of Republican focus on winning the House, and all they need to do is to swing four seats and they've won the House, and winning the Senate, and all they need to do is to defend their own seats, which may be tough, and to pick up one Democratic Senate seat.
I'm glad.
So that's really the focus for the party. Let me recall something with you, and I think it's really worth doing, is when Bill Clinton won the election in 1992, he had swept huge majorities of the Senate and the House, and National Review did a cover on the leader of the opposition, who was the leader of the Republican Party. You know who was on the cover?
Who?
Rush Limbaugh, may he rest in peace.
Because
there
right.
was no political leader. This is before the emergence of Newt Gingrich. It's before Newt Gingrich being Speaker of the House or even minority leader. So we'll see. Time allows.
Michael, as they get ready to, sorry, Ursula, but as they get ready to take over and try to take the House and everything like that and Senate, did they even have time to do their job? Are they constantly on campaign mode? You know what I mean?
I'm afraid that's what American politics has become. But I'm hopeful about this infrastructure bill that we can get it down to size and a compromised version that'll help the country.
Michael, you are always great with us. Have a great weekend and enjoy this beautiful weather, sir.
Hey, you too. And go Mariners. Talk to you later.
Hey, Ursula, are you ready for Stacey Joe to come hang out with
us? Absolutely.
She comes in. Stacey Joe Ross comes in to hang out and tell us about the new addition that the Seattle Seahawks has. And I'll tell you why I'm not happy. It's the G and Ursula Show. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. Coming up in scenarios at 1047, someone writes in and says that they were dating someone that was out of their league. I tell you, I don't like
that term.
So do I, Ursula. I can't stand it. As someone who, if you will, when you see me, I've been dating out my league my whole life. So we'll talk about that. But right now we have a guest joining the G and Ursula show from our sister station. By the way, Ursula, why do we call it sister station? We'll get to that in a minute. From our sister station over at 710 ESPN, from the Jake and Stacy show, Stacy Jill Ross. Hey, Stacy.
Hi, G Scott. Hello, Ursula Bridget.
Hey. It's been way too long.
I know.
Okay. Help me out.
Yes, sir.
Help us understand who just joined the Seattle Seahawks recently.
Okay, so the player that just joined is 31-year-old Aldon Smith. Now, if you aren't overly familiar with him, it's because he was out of the league for nearly 5 years. From basically 2016 through 2019, he was suspended. It was for a variety of legal issues. There was violating the league's policies on substance abuse and also its personal conduct policy for his involvement in an alleged domestic violence incident in 2018 and a DUI. I believe there might have been more than one DUI. Now, he is just as a player, right? He has all the talent in the world. This was more on display, like it is with any player, when he was younger. So in his first year with the San Francisco 49ers, who took him in the first round, he had 14 sacks. Mm. That is a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
That's how much Frank Clark had here in 2018 when the Seahawks traded him for a first-round pick and more, right? Then the next year, he had 19 and a half. You get 19 and a half sacks, you're pushing in on that Michael Strahan all-time sack record. I mean, that is Aaron Donald totals. Those are phenomenal numbers. He then kind of ran into some troubles at one point, checked himself into a facility. So it's something that I have never covered him. I've never covered another team, so I'm not as familiar. I was kind of looking back through it, and to make a good faith argument, like, he has at least one occasion checked himself into rehab. He's also been reinstated by the NFL in order to be eligible to play for Dallas last year. You have to apply for reinstatement. The league has to feel comfortable reinstating you. So seemingly he's gotten that all back on track and all checked out. Obviously, you know, we don't know, but he has come to Seattle after a pretty positive year with Dallas. And I think the one thing you need to know as a Seahawks fan, he's 31 years old, but he's only got like 6 years of time. So he could have a lot left in the tank.
Ursula, go ahead.
Well, okay. So I wanted to ask about the Mariners because they are number one.
They are in the AOS. Yes. Yes, they are. Yes,
hey, I just wanted to pose it that way because you don't get to say that very often.
You don't. G knows that.
So is this the year? Is there something magic going on? What's happening?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it's a really exciting start. What I'll say is I don't think this is when they were like 13-2 and it didn't feel sustainable. They are 8-5, number one in the AL West, doing stuff that feels sustainable. Like, the guys that are supposed to be good are good, and the guys that aren't always great aren't suddenly performing in a way that you don't think they can sustain. So I think it's reasonable to expect this to be a better year than last year.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question. I know, gee, it's Fresh Friday, but I'm going to ask it. Brett Favre is doing a lot of talking.
God. Yeah, he is.
Personally, you know what?
No,
what?
No,
you've been really trying to get to me today.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about
go ahead,
let's talk about Brett Favre and his Crocs.
I'm just trying to talk about what's in the news right now. I'm a newswoman.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so Ursula. So he was talking about how he wants politics to stay out of sports.
Okay.
Here's one of his comments.
I know when I turn on a game, I want to watch a game. I want to watch players play and teams win, lose, come from behind. I want to watch all the, you know, the important parts of the game, not what's going on outside of the game. And I think the general fan feels the same way.
That was one of his more mild ones, I would
say. Here's the thing with Mr. Favre. The most important thing about the game, the most important thing about sports, are the individual accomplishments, the people that keep it going. It's the people we celebrate. We don't look at a record and say, wow, 22 and a half sacks. We look at him and we say, Michael Strahan. You know immediately who it is, right? When people that are playing a game say, I'm a person, this is something that matters to me, isn't it just as patriotic to say, I'm a fellow American and that matters to me too? It's not politics. It's wanting people to care. And for people that say that it's politics, you're not paying attention to why players are kneeling or why players are ever protesting or why players are calling attention to it. And it's disappointing from Brett Favre, who's had his own share of political involvement.
Well, he's had political involvement. He's also been very upfront about some of his other personal troubles.
Oh,
too.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he has.
Which one? The one where he sent the text message of his private parts to
yes,
that lady?
And he was wearing Crocs. I just want to point that out. I feel it's important to note that.
Ursula, are you going to bring that up?
I was not going to bring up his Crocs, but he's also had
well done, Ursula. Yeah, well done.
Some of his substance abuse issues, et cetera. And you know, obviously he's got a platform as well, but you know, so he's sharing his opinion. That's his opinion.
Sure.
Okay, fine.
Right.
But this idea that kneeling has created more turmoil or that this is not the place for sports. You're absolutely right. This is something that impacts each and every one of those players. And even if they weren't personally impacted, to say this is something that matters and this is something I believe in and this is a place where I feel like I can improve, that is patriotic.
I don't know when saying that American lives matter became anti-American. Right? Like, I don't know when saying the death of someone matters to me and this population of people matters to me became something that was anti-patriotic. Isn't caring about that and caring about your fellow Americans the most patriotic thing you can do?
Yeah. I agree, but apparently there are some people who are willing to say, I'm never going to watch another football game or another baseball game because of it.
What's that one term that you don't like? What's that call when you say you're not going to do something, you're not going to watch it? Oh, cancel culture. Oh, right. Let me go ahead and pull from that envelope. Okay, can I go back to something? Ursula,
yes.
you got me today, I got to tell you. I want to go back to the Seahawks.
Okay.
I want to talk about the new addition, Aldon Smith.
Mm-hmm.
On the scale of 1 to 10, and Stacy.
Hey, watch it. Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about the new addition to the Seahawks? And I want you to be very honest.
Like 2.
Okay. <that's>...
Thank you, Stacy. That's why I love you. I'm at a 1, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
I'm at a 1.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's 31 years old. You know who else is 31 years old, Stacy Joe?
Me?
No. Oh, well, you
KJ
are too.
KJ Wright.
KJ Wright's 31.
Yeah.
Is KJ Wright going to be a Seahawk this year?
I sure hope so.
Oh, I do too.
Well, it just became a lot harder.
A lot harder.
Yep.
Stacy, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Oh, by the way, what's the one thing you're going to do this weekend with it being 80 degrees?
Stay inside.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Not one of those. You
watch
don't like
TV.
The warm weather?
No. You don't know what Governor Jay Inslee said?
What'd he say,
Ursula?
Take it outside.
Hey!
Now I'm going to take it to my couch.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Stacy. Coming up next, in scenarios, Ursula, somebody writes in and said that they were dating out of their league. Something that you don't like and I don't like when people say that. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11:06, we will do Agree to Disagree, but right now it is time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I thought I was a decent-looking guy, but after this last relationship, I don't think so anymore. I've lost all of my confidence. I'm 17. A high school senior, and felt pretty good about myself, but now I'm not sure if I ever want to get back into another relationship. After my most recent girlfriend broke up with me, everyone around me, my friends, my family, and even a teacher that I really trust told me I was punching, quote, I was punching above my weight. She's really good looking, and I thought I was okay looking too, but I guess not. My dad even told me that he thought that she would have broken up with me long before and not to worry about it because I'd find a girl that was a better match for me. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I just want to know if this is normal and how can I get over this and get my swagger back. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you have to bat first.
Okay,
my friend.
First of all, you're 17 and you think that you're not going to have any chances again in the future. Okay, first of all, this is, you're just starting. And this idea that people tell you you're punching above your weight, don't listen to that noise. That's ridiculous. Obviously, whoever you dated found you attractive. I hate that idea of she's out of my league or he's out of my league. Is that what? Purely based on looks? We need to get away from the superficial and then also be kinder to ourselves.
Preach.
And right? I mean, we're always our worst critics. And we need to learn how to love ourselves and have that confidence. And frankly, here's another thing that just bugs me while I'm in this mood today. When people say things like that, what is their intent? And I would ask, you're only 17. I would ask, like, how did you want me to feel about that comment that you made? What is your point in making that? That is something that I do sometimes to someone when they criticize or they say something, and I just ask, like, so how were you expecting me to feel? Like, what did you want me to do, or how did you want me to respond based on what you just said?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because then people can actually think about what they say, what comes out of their mouth, and what was your intent? Was your intent to lift me up? No. And if it's not, keep your mouth shut.
Right. Paul, what do you got, buddy?
I'm with Ursula on this one. You know, I think the big focus a lot of people have is on looks, especially at that younger age, social media age as well. You know, you got to remember, if you got a chance with someone, it's for a lot more than looks. I was in that kind of mindset of, oh, I'm out of my league. But that's just not true. If you're showing, people fall in love with your personality a lot more than your looks and the
your
time
heart.
That you spent. Yeah, your heart. Exactly. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm a decent looking guy. I'm the same way. I could, you know, I have some stuff about myself that I'd like to improve, but it took me a bit to kind of get over some of that, though, and have confidence in myself that, hey, I can get somewhere where I want to go. Don't let everyone kind of heart me down. And what's this teacher doing telling you that you're punching out of your weight class? I can see the other, you know, your other 17-year-old buddies and late high school saying that type of stuff. But you really should have people building the confidence that it's a lot more than just looks. And people are going to find a lot more about you than just what you look like if you give them the opportunity to. So don't shy away from it. Continue to go out, and you don't always have to be looking for that next romantic relationship. Just look for that next friendship and see where it can go. My girlfriend, we were friends for 2 years before we started dating. So, I mean, that's my take on it.
Another topic, Ursula, where I'm not only the client, but I'm the president. I am the president of, if on the outside you'd be, oh, gee, man, you're out of your league. Physically, for sure. That's right. If you've seen Lillian before, you'd know it.
Yeah,
physically,
but you know
yes.
What? I still don't even agree with that, obviously.
No, well, I'd agree. I hear it all the time. But I just wanted to say this to the 17-year-old man. Trust me when I say this. It is not about the physical. Yeah, the person that you're going to be with, and you're only 17, by the way, the person that you're going to be with, I'm telling you right now, there might be an attraction in the beginning, but that won't seal the relationship. That won't keep the relationship. You will be in a relationship, and there will be other qualities that are far more attractive than your looks. And that's the truth. That's something that I've learned over time, right, Ursula? Like,
absolutely.
The physical, it's cool and all, but I'm telling you right now, there's other things. You know what's another thing, Ursula, that's important? It's knowing when to get your significant other some food. I'm telling you right now, if you master the art of, hey, by the way, I got some of your favorite food. Oh, I'm telling you, you are real attractive when you know how to get that food right. Coming up next, we do agree to disagree. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show.